Podmoth.
If you're easily offended, this show may not be for you.
But if you're into that weird fun sh**, you've come to the right place.
You've been warned.
Are you there?
I'm Chris. I'm the believer.
I'm Cody. I'm the skeptic. Okay, stories. Let's get into it.
Hello! And welcome to BSP Believer Skeptic Podcast.
The podcast where two idiots debate weird phenomena.
I'm Chris, I'm the believer.
I'm Cody, I'm the skeptic.
And if this is your first time listening to us, we're an LGBTQ paranormal comedy podcast and proud members of the Podmoth Network. And this is a full episode. I'm just out of sorts today.
Oh, God. Our schedules are so messed up, and I've been sick, and if I start coughing, forgive me, but I should be okay.
Apologies to our listeners, all two of you. It's been a rough 3 months, and this last month especially, because I am currently on a sort of tour in northern Arizona. I'm doing a show there, so like I'm 2 hours away, and we, as you know, hate recording long distance. So
yeah.
I've been coming back and forth, and then Cody got ill this weekend, not COVID-related, thankfully.
Yeah.
So we postponed this episode, and that's where we're at now.
Yeah, I think like there's such a difference when we're together.
Well, the dynamic, too.
Yeah.
You know, because we, in our brains, we already know automatically that it's not going to sound our best, so that probably puts a damper on it already. Oh,
that's true. Yeah. That's true. And it's just nice to be able to really see in real time. Yeah. And all that. Yeah. So that's good. Well, okay. So if you're new to joining, also happy holidays, everyone.
Yes.
This is our second holiday episode. And with our full episodes, we pick a paranormal topic.
Yep.
We bring you history, lots of fun stories and information. And then we do the believer skeptic portion where Chris talks about why people believe and I debunk it. I have an interesting, fun debunk for today.
Mine is... It is definitely interesting. I don't know how to explain it. We'll just when we get there, you'll get it.
So with that, should we talk about our topic?
Yeah.
I'm sure people guessed because it was really easy.
Yes, I was just gonna say I forgot who it was that guessed it correctly. It was Sel.
Oh yay! All right, so congratulations.
Yeah.
Sel or Seth?
Sel.
Oh Sel. Oh, never mind. I totally misunderstood you. I was like, what's happening? So for all those who didn't guess, we are going to be talking about elves.
And not just specifically Christmas elves, but that is the inspiration because it is the holiday.
Yeah. And actually, neither of my stories are about Christmas elves or my things.
Neither. The only thing that's Christmas on here is probably the history and my creep of the week.
So. Oh, and my debunk.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. So we got some holiday stuff in there.
Yeah. So...
And I think this is going to be fun because there are, when you think about elves, but if you think about them from around the world, they can be very different.
And we did research a while back, so we totally forgot what each other's stories are. So yep. It's going to be very surprising and interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really cool. So with that...
Drinks?
Yeah.
Do you want me to go first?
You're so excited. I want to try this.
So I've been cooking this all day. I wanted to cook... something or make something, a drink that was holiday and wintry and just kind of reminds me of winter. So it's been cooking all afternoon. Like I said, it is a pear cider.
Oh, like yum. Homemade, hot.
Warm pear cider. And I mean, yes,
so
it's
nice.
It's really good. And it relates kind of to my creep of the week and also a partridge in a pear tree.
Oh, cute.
So,
oh my God, it feels so, I just want to hold it. It feels so warm. Okay. So Chris,
he's talking about the drink.
No, I'm not. Chris gave me a goblet, but it actually has a giant cork in it.
I got that from amazing. The Renaissance Fair.
That's cool. Okay. So I've got to set my mic down because I couldn't pull the top off without it.
Oh,
can you do it?
I can do it.
Okay. Oh, there we go.
How simple was that?
Well, I have one hand.
I did it with one hand.
But I was holding it. Oh my God. That's the most, this is the best like cider wassail I've ever had. Because usually wassail for me is hit or miss.
Yeah.
This is amazing, Chris.
And I mean, you could add brandy if you drink alcohol or anything like that to it.
No, this is, I think this is the best drink I've ever tasted of yours.
Yeah, and I put as you see some anise pods in it. Not anus, anise.
Oh man,
or anise as we anise. Call it.
Okay, y'all need to get the recipe for this if anyone wants it.
Oh yeah, I have an actual recipe from online, so if you want it, I can. We'll post it in our notes next week. Actually,
that is truly, truly fantastic. All right, yeah. So I am very excited about my drink because I think it's super cute. Mm-hmm. So what is one main characteristic you think of when you think about elves?
Short.
Hold on.
So yay! You got minis of champagne and rosé. Yes. You're such a nerd.
So I got a mini Brut, a mini Pink Moscato, and a mini Moscato Spumante.
Spumante.
So yeah, so I thought I was going
you got
around.
Three?
Yeah.
You're not going to drink all of them.
I'm not even going to finish one probably because I'm sick. But I saw these and they were $2.99 and they're little and cute like elves. So I thought that it was going to be a perfect, perfect little drink.
All right. So that takes us into history.
Yeah. Well, I opened one of these bad boys. I have no idea.
All right. We'll see. Well, so when we think of elves during this time of year, we usually think of the short, tiny creatures with pointed ears who help Santa throughout the year with various tasks. In what I read, Christmas elves are said to be youthful, immortal creatures who possess magical powers. This is something I have never heard, but legend is that on January 6th, the elves will light up their torches, celebrate, and play in a hidden area in honor of the last day of Christmas.
Really? Oh, so like
because
the 12
days,
of
goes from December 25th to Epiphany, January 6th.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So there are variations as to the origin of these creatures. Some associate them with German paganism, as in that tradition, they were thought to be the creatures of light who lived in the heavens. In the same tradition, elves are described as male or female, tiny, youthful, immortal, and again, possessing magical powers. With their magical powers, they were said to be able to control what people see and experience.
Oh, well, that's neat.
Yeah. Scandinavians also claim the origin of elves, specifically in Norse mythology. Norse mythology has reference to Alfar or Huldufolk, or simply, quote, hidden folk, which I mentioned in my story of elf school in one of our minisodes before. And all that being said, it is thought that the elves are a combination of Norse legend along with other Scandinavian and Celtic myths and stories about elves and other creatures. So perhaps along the way, the German stories were combined with the Norse, hence the confusion. That's what I've assumed or theorized. Oh,
cool. I can't even respond because I'm just so enamored with this drink.
Well, back to the Scandinavian beliefs. They thought the elves were house gnomes who guarded their homes against evil, and that if they were good to them, they would reciprocate, or if you were not kind to them, they would play tricks on you.
Okay.
Kind of like Dobby.
house elves, yeah.
It was believed some of the tricks they could play would be giving people nightmares by sitting on your head while you dream. So your ass is like on your face.
Wait, is this a punishment or what?
If it's an elf, remember this.
I'm like, oh, I've been so bad.
Or they would tangle your hair as you slept. They would make milk turn sour, and they would steal sausages. It was thought that if you left a bowl of porridge on your doorstep at night, the elves would be happy and not play tricks. The Scandinavians are said to have connected Christmas with the creatures, as the elves were already traditionally associated with the myth and magic. Sometime in the mid-1800s, they became helpers of Father Christmas. It was through writings and illustrations during this time that the elves were written and drawn as helpers of Father Christmas. During this time, same time in America, Louisa May Alcott wrote, but never published, a book called Christmas Elves, which is another early appearance of the creatures in literature.
Well, she's like soups famous.
Little Women?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Little Elves. She just changed the title.
It's the same story, except it has elves and not women.
Their publisher was like, okay, let's make this realistic. I can do this.
And then in 1873, a women's magazine called Goody's Lady Book on their cover had the first illustration of Santa Claus surrounded by toys and elves.
Oh, cute.
At this time, the magazine was said to be a huge influence as it relates to Christmas traditions. Also around the same period in 1876, a piece was written called The House of Santa Claus, a Christmas fairy show for Sunday schools, which also contributed to elves' association with Santa. That being said, a few years earlier in 1823, in a poem, A Visit from St. Nicholas, or as we might likely know it, Twas the Night Before Christmas, Santa is described as, quote, he was a chubby and plum, a right jolly old elf. Yeah. So Santa himself was described as an elf. Some more beliefs about elves is that it was thought that Santa employed 6 elves, but as many as 13. Scandinavians believe they are children of Gryla and Lepaludi. We discussed Gryla in one of our past holiday episodes. So if that is the case, we can probably safely assume that the Yule lads are actually elves.
Mm.
Yeah, because they are the children of Gryla.
That's funny that it's 6 or 13.
Yeah.
Because we think of hundreds of them, you know?
Yeah. And something I just learned in my research is that Christmas elves have names.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm sure it's like Drifflerken.
No.
Basically, Rosen Island from Golden Girls yeah. named all the elves.
They are Alabaster Snowball,
who
is the administrator of the Naughty and Nice list, Bushy Evergreen.
That's me.
Who is the inventor of the magic toy making machine, Pepper Mint Sticks, who is the guardian of the secret of where Santa's village is located.
Peppermint sticks.
Mint sticks.
Fish sticks.
Shiny up a tree, who is Santa's oldest friend and the co-founder of the secret village. Sugar Plum Mary, who is the head of the sweet treats and assistant to Mrs. Claus. And last but not least, One Norse Open Sleigh, who designed Santa's sleigh and is its mechanic, as well as the reindeer caterer.
One Norse Open Sleigh?
Yep.
What is this name? It's just some kid going through a book.
Yeah. So there you have it, the weird and very convoluted history of elves.
Okay, that is awesome and weird.
That's why I was like,
that's the best history.
I combined like all kinds of different histories.
You just made up those names. That's literally George Glass. Like looking on this elf's name is Wall Mirror Floor.
One Horse Open Sleigh.
The Kaiser Sose. All right, so on to stories.
Who?
Kaiser Sose?
Oh,
do you know who that is?
You said it very differently. Kaiser.
Oh, did I? Oh.
Like, that's why I was like, Kaiser Sose. Yeah, I know who that is. Oh, I don't know.
I know yes. what he's famous
I know the name.
For. Yes, yeah.
Thank you.
All right. So story number one. I am calling this The Elf of Girona, a true Smurf story.
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
I don't know.
All right. In September of 1989, mm-hmm. two couples named Enyaños and Pujols.
Where is the story from?
It's in Spain, in the Spanish city of Girona. So Enyaños and Pujols, P-U-J-A-L-X.
L-E-S?
Yeah, Pujols.
Pujoles?
Pujols?
Yeah, Pujols.
They went camping in a forest near the Spanish city of Girona. While the four friends were barbecuing and listening to music on a cassette player, a strange creature suddenly walked out of the bushes. The gnome or elf of Girona, as it was later called in Spanish media, was a small rabbit/elfish-like creature that had glowing red eyes and bluish skin.
Yeah. If you have a creature coming out of your bush, you better have that checked out.
Right? I can't even respond.
Especially if it's blue.
And especially if it's attracted by music, which this one is, in the next sentence. Here it comes. So apparently attracted by music, the elf walked up to the cassette player and stood there as the campers watched it transfixed. When one of the men turned the music up, the creature let out a loud laugh like an old man's. And Ooh. Tried to run away.
Papa Smurf!
Wait, how would that be? Shiny! That's how it laughed. Okay. To prevent its escape, the campers threw a blanket over it and placed the elf or gnome in a birdcage. It smelled like sarsaparilla and had very soft skin.
What the fuck does sarsaparilla smell like?
Like molasses, right?
I don't know.
Maybe? Anus? Pods?
When I think of sarsaparilla, I think of root beer. So that's
it could be like that. Yeah, root beer. That's true. Now, aside from 3 pieces of hair found on the back of its neck, this elf was hairless. Its height was measured at 12 centimeters or 4.7 inches. It made no protest about being captured, but it refused to eat. After 4 days in captivity, the creature died.
Wow.
Now, the campers decided to save its remains in a coffee jar filled with formaldehyde, and it was later sold to Angel Gordon, a Spanish parapsychologist.
Angel Gordon.
Angel Gordon. I know. I know. It says Angel Gordon, but I'm assuming it's Angel Gordon, maybe? Gordon paraded the remains around the media, appearing on all these Spanish TV shows.
That's insane.
Yeah, so some speculated that this creature was an alien, but Gordon himself said that it was an elf, the same sort from German folklore, which inspired the Smurfs. Okay, so for real, y'all, there were pictures of this, and we're going to post one.
The blue Smurfs?
Yeah, the Gnome of Jerome, if you look at it.
The Gnome of Jerome.
And it is creepy as fuck, and it's just sitting there dead in a jar, and it's just really weird. This story, while you look it up, it attracted growing skepticism after Angel Gordon gave conflicting accounts of how the gnome was found. He couldn't specify like where in the forest the camper saw the elf, and nobody could actually find the campers at the time either. So in order to defend the finding, he appeared on a Spanish TV show along with Dr. Louis something something Mula, a medical doctor and fellow parapsychologist.
He looks like something from Star Wars.
Isn't it weird?
He looks like a Star Wars creature.
It kind of does. Yeah, it definitely looks alien or weird,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So Mula claimed that the gnome or elf was an abnormal animal unknown to science. Now, they actually found the campers who caught the gnome at this time, and they appeared, and Yaños and Pujol, and they appeared on the show, and they gave their first-person account of the story. So in the area, this shit went wild. Yeah. It looks crazy. There's actually proof of something. So yeah. People believe the story. They wanted to see it. But then everyone's hopes may have been dashed against the rocks.
Uh-oh.
Any hope that it was a blue elf may have been extinguished when a man named Manuel Tello came forward and told a different story about it. He said that one of his neighbors had found the gnome dead while walking in the countryside, and they thought it was just a rabbit fetus or a deformed pig or calf fetus. After he took some pictures of it, Angel showed up and bought it, and then he began touring with it and made up that whole camper story a few weeks later.
Okay.
So, which is correct.
So you already debunked it.
Yeah, so debunk is built into this one because my debunk is going to be different. But as another skeptic would later uncover, Añaños and Pujol actually turned out to be actors hired to promote the camper story.
This is such bullshit.
Now, despite all that, though...
Okay, this is like... Never mind. I was going to relate it to something.
What?
A whole Jesse Smollett case. Oh. Hiring people off the set to do the shit.
Yeah, exactly. But despite all that, though, you have this evidence of something, right? Mm-hmm. So there were still many believers who insist that the Elf of Girona is... An extraterrestrial, a real life Smurf or elf or fetus of maybe an unidentified animal. And by looking at it when you see it, it's hard to know exactly what that is.
Yeah.
You know?
I picture the creature that I'm thinking of from Star Wars, and I can't.
Anakin?
No. like one of the creatures, and I'll have to look him up to see who he is, but that's what it looks like.
Okay.
Not that that helps or anything.
Huh. Definitely one of the band members.
Yeah.
Because they always look like the weird things. All right. And that's story number one.
Wow. That is interesting. Interesting that the debunk was like built into it.
Yeah. I was going to use that as my debunk, but then I found a fun one.
Story.
Yeah. It was already shorter. So I wanted something to expand it a little.
All right. Let me preface this by saying that we always say we are just armchair experts and probably get a lot of things wrong. This story isn't any different. In my research, there has been a scholarly debate that the Chanique, Alux, and Duendes are all one and the same. Other scholars state that Duendes are more so dwarves, while the Chanique or Alux is an elf. And the Chanique comes from the Nahuatl word from the Aztecs, and the Alux is the Yucatan, the Mayan word.
Okay.
While Duende is a Spanish-Mexican word. And I wrote that in my notes, and I had said it without even thinking that. That being said, many consider Duendes house elves, like Dobby, like I said earlier.
Oh, wow.
While the latter is more of a mischievous free spirit. Further supporting some of the debate, the Chanique translated from Nahuatl means, quote, those who live in dangerous places or, quote, owners of the house. Anyhow, I found a publication from 1914 in which a woman tells about Duendes and how these stories were given to her by an elder in Mexico City. In one story, we encounter a family from a ranch called La Loma de Bufanda. The patriarch called José María Ruga lived with his wife, two sons, and two daughters. One son was a cowherd and the other a shepherd. The family believed that duendes lived in their barn where they kept the hay. The family was aware of their presence and would catch a short glimpse of them once in a while, describing them as lightly clad children of diminutive stature. The shepherd's son decided to make a flute-like instrument that on Sundays and holy days he would sit in the barn and play music to the duendes. After playing, he would often hear childish giggles trying to be suppressed, followed by footsteps towards him. Even so, he would rarely see them. After playing his music, he was often gifted with half-eaten fruit, rocks, live frogs, and harmless snakes. Although these do not seem like much of a gift, it was said that these were objects that were prized by the creatures. One night, a dance was held locally, and in attendance was a man from a neighboring ranch that was known to pick fights. Well, as the dance commenced, the man asked the shepherd's wife to dance. She refused, but the man continued to insist. The cowherd's son interceded and told the man that this was his brother's wife-to-be, the neighbor man simply replying, "I can dance with whoever I choose."
Oh my God, hashtag me too.
Yeah, pushing the cowherd aside. When he did that, a woman screamed, which prompted other men to grab a hold of the man, throw him in the barn, locking it with him in it. The dance began again while the neighbor man tried to kick down the barn door. Growing tired of kicking the door, the neighbor man decided to lie down on the hay, falling asleep. Suddenly, the man woke up from a nightmare in which he was being buried alive.
Oh!
Upon his wake, he saw that he was covered in hay. Shaking the hay off and thinking nothing of it, he again fell asleep, only to be woken again by bundles of hay being thrown on him.
And then he wakes up and there's, I don't even know.
Yeah.
Tons of hay, I don't know. Haystacks, there we go. I couldn't think of the word.
He called out asking who was in the barn with him. No response. He then began shouting insults, which resulted in hay being thrown at him again.
Good.
He looked around and around, but could find no one there. He again tried to lie down, only to be almost smothered by hay this time. With that, he began to understand what was happening and called out to the duendes to stop and let him sleep. But before he could speak, hay was thrown into his mouth, causing him to cough and retch.
Someone has some really good aim.
Yeah.
With his hay.
With each cough, he would hear small laughter in the darkness. After catching his breath, the man threatened to burn the bar down, even if he was still in it. Despite a threat he had no intent to follow through on, the duendes got so scared that they quieted down, allowing the man to fall asleep at last. The next morning, the man was released from the barn, obviously shaken, glad to be alive, to tell his tale. And there you have just one of the many strange encounters with duendes, alux, chanik in Mexico.
Wow, that's wild.
Yeah, kind of random. Like I said, it was the publication was from 1914 in a historical journal. And this was just one of like a few stories that they told.
That is really cute. Yeah. I like that. Getting his just desserts. Mm-hmm. What do gay elves throw? Hey! Okay. Oh, my... No, I apologize for that.
Memento mori, an object serving as a warning or reminder of death. Death is inevitable, but how it happens can be tragically unfair. It can be dark, cruel, hateful, or just plain bizarre. I'm Megan, and I'll be your guide through these stories of chaos and devastation. Come listen as we dive into all types of true crime cases and learn about the evil that lurks among us, as well as the victims that deserved none of it. Join me every Monday for a missing person minisode, and every Thursday for a regular episode. You can go to mementomoripod.com for more information. Monsters are real, and they look like people.
All right. So, well, Chris wipes his mouth.
Because I got cider all over
me. I'm going to be taking everybody to Iceland. And I know Chris did a story in Iceland about the elf school.
Which I mentioned in my history.
Yeah. And I'm going to be talking about another elf-related current event thing.
Funny, because my believer has a lot to do with Iceland.
Does it really? Yeah. Oh, cool. Okay. All right. So y'all, first, a pronunciation warning, because this is some of those Icelandic names.
Icelandic words are so hard to pronounce and to find pronunciations for them too.
And to now that I'm juxtaposed against your perfect Spanish words in the last story, I'm going to sound like a moron.
Whatever.
So I'm going to do my best, but there's going to be some shit here. So I'm going to be talking about a current event that has to do with elves, and it's really, really interesting. There's some super woo people in here, so it's going to be really fun. So oh God, at the edge of the ancient Galgaharon lava field, about a 10-minute drive outside of Iceland's capital city of Reykjavik. That'll be the one Icelandic word that I pronounce decently correct. A small group of local environmentalists has made camp among the gnarled volcano rock, wild moss, and browning grass to protest a new road development. What are you smiling about? Do you know about this? Is this your believer?
Sort of.
Is it really?
Parts of it, but it doesn't matter. It'll relate.
Okay, good, good, good. So basically, it's a new road development that will slice the bucolic landscape into four sections and place a traffic circle in its core. This project, led by the Icelandic Road and Coastal Administration in the nearby municipality of blah, 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 will provide a more direct route to and from the tip of the blah, 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 peninsula. Mm-hmm. So it's basically connecting the island. Now, I got to kind of say this because they come up multiple times. The Hrana Vinir, or Friends of the Lava, believe that any benefits from a project that snakes through this are canceled out by its cultural and environmental costs and effects, right? So according to the group, the thoroughfares would destroy some of the amazingly beautiful lava formations and spoil the habitat where birds flock and small plants flourish. Now, this sounds all well and good, right? But not all the arguments against the development are so straightforward. At least a few believe that it will displace certain supernatural forces that dwell within the hollowed volcanic rubble, and they fear the potentially dark consequences that come with such a disturbance. Mm-hmm. This is an important name, Johns Didder, a graying and spectacled seer who also operates an elf garden in nearby blah, 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 believes that the field is highly populated by elves.
Yeah.
Many of whom, she says, have recently fled the area while the whole matter is being settled.
Mm.
Okay. So, in addition to this, one of the many oddly shaped rocks in this whole field houses what, quote unquote, a very important elf church, which lies directly in the path of one of the roads, according to Johns Didder.
Yeah.
So, okay, y'all. You think about this, you're like, oh, well, there's this like rock, like this beautiful church looking thing. No, this is just a rock. And you can look at a picture of the giant fields and there's all these rocks. And this one looks exactly the same as all the rest of them. There's nothing special about it. So
somebody told them it's a church.
Yeah. So I was like, how did they decide this was it? And it was explained. So Johns Didder and another seer visited the field separately and came to the same conclusion that particular rock was an elf church. Because this is super scientific, it makes perfect sense when you hear the quote from her. She said, I mean, there are thousands or millions of rocks in this lava field, but we both went to the same rock and talked about an elf church. So that is her reasoning, is that they both met at this rock and decided that it was the church. Do what? It's fate. Yeah, and that's what she would claim. But now she says she knows it's an elf church because she can see it and she can also sense its energy. So what happens to the road, or what will happen if it's actually built?
I can see your skeptic meter going.
Oh my God, I was loving this. I'm like, this must be the rock because we're standing here. It means something. So if the road is deemed necessary by the elves, then they should generally just move out of the way and be peaceful. But if they deem it as superfluous, very bad things might happen.
Good word.
The quote is, this elf church is connected by light energy to other churches, other places, Johns Didder says. So if one of them is destroyed, it's not a good thing. And that's her quote. But what could happen? Well, building around or otherwise disturbing their homes and churches can agitate the elves' fiercely territorial side.
Yeah.
Machines can break or stop operating without explanation. Then perhaps a worker sprains an ankle or breaks a leg. In older stories, sheep, cows, and people can fall ill and even drop dead.
Mm-hmm.
According to experts, if you damage their stones, you will pay for it. So basically, any random thing that happens is, of course, the elves' fault.
Yeah.
So this may sound kind of piddly, right? Like, this is ridiculous. But y'all, this has caused so much disruption to the construction plans in Iceland over the years.
Protesting.
Yeah, and it's become so huge that the country's road and coastal administration has created a stock media response for elf inquiries. So they actually had to put together a response for all the people inquiring about it. Part of it states that issues have been settled by
postponing construction projects until the elves that live in the area have supposedly moved on. Yeah. So, y'all, they actually put this whole project on hold because of the elves.
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous. Now, more to the absurd point, they couldn't reach a consensus about this because public hearings into the environmental impact assessment has yet to be attended by any elves. So they can't actually get there and make their claim.
Oh, my
and so
God.
So they can't put it to a vote because there's nobody on that side to stick up for them.
Well, if they're not there, then they should. They don't have a say then.
Well, and I think that the other people are arguing that they're not able to defend themselves. And so it puts you at a standstill. So they can't conduct a meeting without the elves to show up.
Who's to say they aren't there?
That's true. Who knows? So it's all people have all their different opinions. So what's happening now? Well, the project is finally underway again. Why? Well, the ongoing issue was brought to an end after the 70-ton elf church was relocated. It was just a 70 huge rock.
Ton.
70 ton. It was this big old rock. You,
all
you
right,
see a
you made it,
it
seem like it was a little rock.
But if you look at it, it's just like a boulder. And there's lots of them. It's yeah. just like a boulder sitting there. Like you can look at a
70
picture.
70 ton is
it's
not small.
It's a pebble. Maybe the Icelandic ton means pound.
Yeah,
so it's
okay.
Like a 70-pound rock. That could be a 70 ton. Wouldn't that actually be like the size of a church?
That'd be huge.
Oh, okay. I've got to look at that because I don't think it's that big because you can see it. Now, people argued against moving it, but the campaigners and stuff lost, and ultimately a crane was brought in and it was moved and relocated nearer to other similar elf dwellings. And that is the story of Elfie Rody Rody Iceland.
I read that same article, but that's okay.
Yay! Is that in your believer?
Parts of just a small part of it.
Good. So. Is that your second story? I kind of hope it is now.
No. For my second story, I dig into Malay and Indonesian culture.
Oh, very cool.
I'm talking about a creature known as the Orang Bunyan, or just Bunyan. The term Bunyan is often translated as elves, but literally means hidden people, whistling people, or the people of light. The term Bunyan comes from the Malay word bunyi, which means sound. This is because they are allegedly known to make an eerie whistling noise, or in some cases shouting and singing within the forest where they are said to live. These creatures are said to be supernatural beings that are invisible to most people. Those who have what is considered, quote, spiritual sight are said to be able to see them. They have been described as pale, slender, beautiful creatures that are dressed in ancient Southeast Asian attire and that are nearly identical to humans living in a sort of universe alternate to humans.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. These creatures remind me a lot of jinns because they kind of live in that kind of same alternate world, you know?
Oh, that's true.
And if you want any more information on the jinns, go listen to that episode. Anyhow, in some stories, they are said to lack a philtrum. If you don't know what that is, that's the indentation that you find below your nose here.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that cleft.
That is a weird facial thing to notice that's missing. Of all the things on your face, they're missing that.
Yeah. If you are checking if you have one right now and don't know, perhaps you are a bunion yourself.
I don't feel one. I think I'm a bunion.
Yeah. Bunion. Bunion's a whole different thing.
Pretty sure it's me.
Modern interpretations are very similar to what we would know as elves. Orang Bunyan are said to be able to teleport, fly, read minds, among other superpowers. They are said to live in trees in the most desolate parts of the forest and or high up in the mountains. They are mostly harmless and pretty indifferent to humans, but are said to become hostile if their territory is messed with. In order to make good with the creatures, there are special rituals that must be performed, especially when traveling through their alleged territory. You see, when someone goes missing or gets lost in the forest or mountains, it is believed that this is all due to the Orang Bunyan. In some cases, though, it has been said that they have been known to help people who are lost. It is believed that the Orang Bunyan can marry humans and have their children if they so choose to.
Now, the children, are they born with or without the luftoff above their
the
mouth?
The philtrum? I don't know. I don't know.
Huh.
There have been stories of babies being kidnapped by Orang Bunyan and women who go into labor only to birth an empty placenta.
Oh, well, that's sad.
Yeah, and they blame it on the Orang Bunyan.
On their own, yeah.
Here's one person's account of their experience with with Orang Bunyan.
Oh, cool.
The writer states, "My story began when I was still a baby somewhere in Air Kuning, Nigeri, Sembilan. My mother was shocked to find that I was not in my usual place that was in between her and my dad on the bed. She looked everywhere, under the bed, everywhere in the house. I was not found. She only found the piece of batik sarong I slept on, neatly folded at the edge of the bed. I just disappeared. Their news of my sudden and unexplainable disappearance soon spread to the police station. Everyone chipped in trying to locate the missing baby. My mother was crying. She had lost her first son. Then at dusk, when my mom was taking her prayers ablution, a human-like figure approached her. She braved herself and listened to what the figure was saying. Quote, "Take back your baby. He is not suitable. There is a birthmark on his left thigh."
Oh my God. Thank God for birthmarks.
The figure disappeared before she could ask where the baby was. She ran into the bedroom, and there I was, sleeping peacefully on the bed.
Oh my God.
As if nothing great had happened. According to my mother, the same thing happened to the brother of my grandfather a very long time ago. He also disappeared into thin air, abducted by Orang Bunyan. His family maintained close relationship with him when he was in the Orang Bunyan world. They got his help whenever anyone fell sick.
Oh, so they kept him.
His spirit. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They borrowed plates and other cooking paraphernalia whenever a party was held. Whenever you borrow something from these Orang Bunyan, the rule is to return everything to them, be it broken pieces. Once things are not returned, the service stops. He was never again found, and we lost contact with him after many, many years of his disappearance. And there you have the weird and mysterious creature known as the Orang Bunyan.
That's wild. Okay, so a couple things. Mm-hmm. You said she, during her ablutions?
Prayers, ablutions.
I always thought, and I guess I'm wrong, that ablutions was when you take a dump in the morning.
No.
And that's why I was like, wait, what? So she's sitting there pooping, and they come in, and they're like, it smells.
No,
like, your baby's not good enough, smelly.
You take the act of, it says here, ablution, the act of washing oneself, like your morning ablutions, like your morning cleansing.
It's
like
a cleansing, I thought it was pooping.
Like, I think it means more of cleansing in this sense, because she has prayer ablutions.
Okay, never mind. That's very different.
Very.
I wonder if he's in therapy because he's like has abandonment issues because he wasn't good enough for the oblong.
Orang Bunyan.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, they wouldn't keep me. I don't know.
Yeah, it's so weird.
That's a really cool story though.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. All right, so we're ready for some skeptic. Believer skeptic. All right. So I found a little fun skeptic thing that I'm going to share because I didn't want to sit there and just debunk Christmas elves because people need to believe in magic.
Do you believe in magic?
That was a harmony. So, okay. So this is around Elf on the Shelf. You ready?
Oh, so I hate that thing.
That little Elf on the Shelf toy sure gets around, whore. Not only do scout elves hide in people's homes, always listening and watch kids in order to report back to Santa if children are naughty or nice, but one little elf has been deputized by a sheriff.
What?
Yeah, this is actually a true story in Abilene, Texas.
Oh, of course.
Yep, the Elf on a Shelf tradition started in 2005 as a children's picture book. But now Snopes had to debunk a claim that the elves are packed with sensors and serving as spies for the NSA.
Oh,
yeah. God. So, yet a digital professor says that the elf is not cool. It's teaching kids to be conditioned and that NSA surveillance is fine.
Totally unrelated.
Yeah.
Sidetracking here, but you would think by now somebody would have integrated like Alexa or Google with an Elf on the Shelf, you know?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Or an app. You heard it here, folks.
Yeah. Copyright 2021.
Yeah.
BSP. All right, so this goes even further. To quote journalist Glenn Greenwald, The NSA has incorporated advanced sensors into these things that can uncover all kinds of information. Mm-hmm. They can tell things about people's health, cancer, heart disease, liver disease. They know who's being naughty and who's being really naughty. So, y'all, this blew up. And it blew up to the point where people were circulating this. This was becoming a thing. And it got to the point where Snopes had to step in and research this to see, like, okay, people calm down about your elves on the shelf.
Yeah, and don't get your panties in a twist, girls. Yeah,
exactly.
Guys, whoever wears panties. Panties.
Oh, gross.
That's the way you say it.
I got my Christmas curse has been granted. And they uncovered that the original article was actually on a satirical site, much like The Onion.
Oh!
And it was one of those cases where people read it and believed it to be true, and then they started circulating it, and it blew the fuck up.
Present company excluded, but it is Texas, after all.
And Abilene is this like the center of Texas, and it's like so Christian. Abilene Christian University
is very,
there.
Very left.
Very right.
I mean, very right. I mean,
yeah, very right. So I could see they deputized the sheriff or the Elf from the Hill. Elf to be like, "You gonna get you."
How very Christian of them. Anywho.
Anywho, believer.
So elves.
Tell us about the ice road in Iceland again.
Elves, do I believe in them? Not exactly, but there are definitely people who do, as Cody said, and I will reiterate a little bit. So let's get into that. We touched a bit on Iceland and our last Minnesota, and I talked about elf school and blah, 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 and Cody told the whole story. According to my research, in a 1998 survey of Icelanders, 54.4% of those surveyed say they believe in the existence of elves.
So many.
Yep, more than
that. Was this like 90% children that were interviewed?
I don't know. A local folklore professor says, quote, "If this is just one crazy lady talking about invisible friends, it's really easy to laugh about that. But to have people through hundreds of years talking about the same things, it's beyond one or two crazy ladies."
Yeah, it's part of the nation, right?
It is part of the nation.
Do you know where my joke about 90% children came from?
From that side.
I had a second half to my story, if we had enough time. And it's literally exactly this.
Oh.
And I'm so glad I didn't read it because I think my story was complete without it.
Yeah.
But I had like, well, if we have more about Icelandic elves.
So yeah, I'm so happy. I can chime in with you.
For example, there are stories of elves messing with construction projects, as you said, that disturb their territory. And such belief is so widespread and frequent that the Icelandic Road and Coastal Administration has created, again, a standard reply for inquiries from the press, which is 5 pages long.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
5 pages about elves.
Yeah.
We're doing our best.
Yeah.
They won't come to our meetings, so we can't figure anything out.
Yeah.
We're at a standstill.
There are many theories on this belief in Iceland. One which I find very interesting and I am a little privy to is one researcher says that the stories are told to express, quote, a sort of primitive environmentalism.
Oh, okay. That's nice.
Sort of representing a special connection with the natural landscape that is otherwise difficult to articulate, you know?
Very cool.
So like, I guess they would help. That's why global warming is a thing, because we're not protecting the elves, you know?
Oh, hey.
It's all related. So
yeah, it's all related.
No matter what your beliefs are on the matter, I think elves hold a very special place in the cultures of many, many people. And perhaps when I go to Iceland, I will see some elves myself.
Oh, yeah, that's your number one bucket list place, isn't it?
Yep.
Oh, my God. Are you gonna go to the elf school? I think we talked about this before, but
my friend just sent me an email that there's a flight for $400 to Iceland next summer.
Round trip?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's unbelievable. Do it. That's awesome.
So anyways.
creep of the week.
Yeah. So this is a little different. It's Christmas related. So I thought I'd leave you off with a Christmas thing. We all know the song, The 12 Days of Christmas, or at least heard of it. Well, I thought I would tell you what those hefty gifts would cost you in the year 2021.
Oh, very cool. Okay. Can I make a total guess if you have the total amount and see how close it is? Okay.
Well, there's two different amounts, but I'll tell you why.
Okay. Oh, is there? Okay. Mm-hmm. But whenever you hire drummers, is it just to do a gig? Or are you actually like buying them?
That's what I mean.
Okay, I'm going to say...
And then ladies dancing, are you buying strippers?
Yeah, oh yeah. And how much is a lap dance? Because like $20, I'm going
to
say...
$20? When's the last time you went to a strip club?
It's been a while. What is it now?
I don't know. I haven't been to one in a long time either.
Do they take Venmo? Let's see. I'm going to say $2 million.
No.
Okay.
According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, if you were to buy everything listed during the song 12 Days of Christmas, it would cost you $41,205.
Oh, that's not so bad.
That is if you're only buying each item as listed one time. But now if you get into the song, you say,
you buy them over.
Yeah.
So you're buying every time 5 golden rings and you buy them again and again and again all the way through 12? Okay, interesting.
Yeah. That would be 364 gifts that would cost in 2021 $179,544.19.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, that's cool. That's really cool.
The cost has gone up 6% since 2019, accounting for inflation, officials said. The most expensive items on the list are the 7 swans swimming. The exotic pets are coming in at a higher cost this year, too. The price of 2 turtle doves reportedly went up 50% this year.
Wow.
And the cost of 6 geese laying went up by 57%.
Are they popular now or something? I don't know.
Gold prices are also up this year, pushing up the cost of 5 golden rings by 8.5%.
Oh my goodness.
For those of you feeling extravagant this gift-giving season, be ready to fork over a big chunk of change.
That is awesome. That's fun.
Yeah.
Man, all right, everyone.
That was an interesting episode.
That was a fun little holiday episode. I like that one.
Yeah, so if you have any elf encounters or have any elf stories, anything like that, any stupid elf on the shelf creepy stories, send them our way to bspodphx@gmail.com. You can find us on the social medias at Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, private group at bspodphx. And what else? Follow us on all that. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Listen to the other people on our network as well.
Yeah. And keep going, yeah, Chris. He's high on Wassel.
Oh, I'm not even. I'm not high.
Oh no.
And yeah, that's it, I guess. Okay. Have a happy holiday.
Yeah, and if in my books, The Gay Teen's yes. Guide to Defeating a Siren, as always, are available, and there's still time. You can order it overnight for Prime.
Yeah.
For Christmas. Yeah, so with that, everyone, I think that's all we have for the... We're not going to come at you before Christmas, I don't think.
Mm. Well, maybe a minisode.
Maybe a minisode. Yeah. But either way, hope your holidays are still merry and bright, and your elf encounters are fun and full of bunions.
And they sit on your face while you sleep.
They sit on your face while you sleep in such a good way. And
bye.
See you again next time.